All right, welcome everybody to the D&D podcast. I am your host, Mike Robles, and with me are some very special guests. I will let them introduce themselves first, and then we'll follow on to our other special guest, which is awesome, because I'm proud of today.
I don't know if special is the right word. I crashed this podcast. I'm Shelley Mazenoble.
Shelley,
just happened to be walking by, saw some microphones.
And so now imagine that people are tuning in for the very first time and have no idea who Shelley Mazenoble is. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I work at Wizards. I work on the D&D brand team, and I wrote a couple books.
What? No. D&D. What are the names of those books?
Confessions of a Part-Time Sorceress and Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Dungeons & Dragons.
Excellent. And over here to my right, which you cannot see, audience.
Yeah, I'm Mike Merles. I am the Senior Manager for Dungeons & Dragons R&D.
And sitting across from me is a very special guest. Please introduce yourself.
I'm the lady on the blue mic. It is Felicia Day.
It's Felicia Day. Felicia Day. So let's imagine for some reason, let's say the 1% out there who's listening to this podcast is like, who's Felicia Day? Tell us, who is Felicia Day?
It could be more than that. That's fine. I am an actor. I am very well known for being in the Joss Whedonverse. I did Buffy, and I was on Dollhouse, and I was in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. And I am very well known on the internet for making internet video. So I made The Guild. I wrote and produced and acted in that for 6 years. And now I have a whole network on YouTube called Geek and Sundry. And we make geeky, cool shows on YouTube.
That is true. I am a subscriber of Geek and Sundry, actually.
Thank you. We need subscribers. That helps us.
I find that hard to believe, considering how much content you guys put out on a regular basis. That's such a good network.
602 videos we made last year. And we're coming up on our year anniversary, actually. So this could be our anniversary podcast.
There you go. Yeah, right here.
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
So you were here inside Wizards of the Coast. Tell us, what brings you to Wizards?
I'm abusing my celebrity authority by swinging by Wizards. I'm up here for Emerald City Comic-Con. I'm a guest there, and I came up a day and a half early because I never make time for all the cool things that I am exposed to in my world, and I was like, this year, I'm going to start bucket listing. So nice. I went up early, and I toured Valve.
Oh, excellent. That place is awesome.
Very cool. I'm a huge Steam fan. I play a lot of games on Steam, actually, because I don't have a lot of time, so I can't get into the bigger games lately. And so I went there, and then I was like, Wizards, hello, who's down the street? Let's do it. And thank goodness I knew enough people to be able to.
I'm sure, yeah. You know, even if you didn't know enough people, if you walked into the lobby and were like, hi, I'm Felicia Day, someone would be like, hey, well, don't worry, we got this, guys.
You never want to do that. You want to be humble, because the minute you actually are arrogant, somebody's going to be like, I don't know who you are. Like, that happened at South by Southwest. South by Southwest is, I was actually the keynote speaker. It was 2 years ago, I think. And I went up to a party line, and I wanted to go to this party. It looked like fun. And I wasn't being arrogant. I went to the front of the line. I was like, oh, is it possible to get me and my friends in? They're like, we don't know who you are. I don't know. Who are you? And it was so embarrassing. I almost started crying. And that was the last time I ever cut line anywhere.
Now you just wait in line like the rest of the public.
You didn't throw like a big scene and
no. What am I gonna do?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
What would you have done, Shelley? Would you have made a scene?
No. I wouldn't. I would be, no.
I would have I almost rage tweeted against the company. Oh, no. And then later, somehow, the head of the company found out that I got turned away at the door and was very profusely apologetic. Pretty much because he didn't want me to rage tweet about him.
Well,
but,
of
you know, there you go. We practiced self-restraint. We went and got tacos instead. It was a fun night with my friends instead of going to a random party.
All right, so you're here. You're here for Emerald City Comic Con, which is probably one of the best conventions we have up in Seattle. It's a great convention. You toured Valve, which is awesome. I love Valve. We have monthly game nights with them. Actually, Wizards and Valve.
We do. Oh, that's fantastic.
We go over. We play Magic and D&D.
That's so
cool. We play
a
lot of our board games. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I'm a big Left 4 Dead fan. I don't play Team Fortress 2 or Dota that
much.
Left 4
Dead is still a great game.
Yes. Left 4 Dead. I can't wait. I want number 3. Where is it? Wait, I wanted to be annoying.
They're running out of fingers.
So wait a second. We have a game night with Valve?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, awkward.
Yeah,
I know, right? I never get invited
to
anything.
Talk to Chris Tulak.
You should cause a scene.
You'd be like, hey.
Just happened yesterday, too. So we were doing a podcast. Rodney Thompson was on. And he's like, yeah, because of D&D, like my first week at Wizards, I got invited to all these parties. And I had all these friends. I'm like,
What?
I didn't do anything. I like.
You
I
need just, to start putting being a diva.
Right?
Yeah. You need to get your diva card out. Yeah.
Mike Morales, we're putting you on the list. You will be at the next game night that we have.
You heard it, podcast. That's you better check up on this.
Check up on
You're
this.
You're a notice rules.
I'll get it. No, believe me. My phone will start blowing up again.
Whatever. We'll do this off. Take this offline.
Oh, he's serious.
I know.
He's got serious face on. He is going to Valve.
I'm not in charge. I just get the invites, but I know who runs that list.
Okay, so there you go.
Put him on the list, please.
You're going to put Mike Morales on the list.
Don't make him show up to Valve and be like, "Do you know who I am?" And they're like, "No." And then he starts crying and goes, "I would." Like I
would. Yeah, I probably wouldn't get tacos though. I'd probably just cry.
Listen, there's some good I would take you for tacos.
Thank you. So you got someone has my back.
Yeah,
it's true. There you go.
You should come by more often. This is like, yeah.
I will. Listen, uninvited. I'll drop by.
Just show up. We'll be here. Someone will be here. So tell us about your D&D experience. You've got a beautiful painted mini like in your hands. You've been messing with the whole
time.
Well,
I have this beautiful mini because I ran into Chris. What's his last name?
Kirkins. Chris Perkins.
Who I've seen on. He does the Petty Arcade.
He does.
And I recognized it when I saw his face. That he's that dude. But he takes me over. He's like, take anything you want, and he opens a tub. Seriously, thousands of minis. Now, first of all, my instinct was to take everything. And then I was like, Felicia.
Like a true D&D player.
Like a true D&D. Very true. I mean, yes. There are some, I'm regretting that I didn't take advantage of more, that I didn't want to look tacky, and they already gave me a nice little care package. So I took this Quattle. Quattle? Is that how you say that?
It's Quattle. And actually, this miniature, if you don't mind me telling a little story about it.
Tell me the lore.
In the competitive Dungeons & Dragons game, we used to have a D&D miniatures game. You'd fight, you'd put together your warband, fight the other guy. Mm-hmm. This miniature wasn't very powerful in terms of attacks, but it had a special ability that it had an aura of protection. So, and it was actually a little broken. So this fabulous Quattle. So for people at home, you can't see this, but basically this guy has a giant snake with emerald scales and rainbow wings.
It's phallic and also attractively feminine.
And it was like the most powerful miniature in the game for like a year.
Really?
And I actually used to act it, and I will try doing this. I'll probably flub it up. But when I first started working here, I would do little plays, and the Quattle would say, "I'm Quattle. I'm the most powerful miniature in Dungeons and Dragons." And that was my Quattle impression. So
wow,
that's exactly how I would picture him to talk.
No, that's why I picked him. So he's a smaller mini. But anyway, yeah. So I did that. My experience with D&D. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to play D&D more than anything in the world, and my mom would not let me play it. She thought it was evil. Didn't think that me playing 12 hours a day on the computer was evil, but for some reason, taking that into any social situation, that would be the step
of actual people.
Once there's actual people involved, forget it.
No. God forbid. But my brother especially would buy all the D&D books and read them as lore.
So now how did he get to buy the D&D books and you weren't allowed
to play? Well, we buy the books behind her back. Like, we always go to the Half Price bookstore and then we get just everything. Yeah. And she didn't add up that D&D was in books. She had no clue, guys. We hosed her frequently. But then about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in a sketch group. This was about when the guild started, and I, you know, I'm an actor, and you know, I was on a lot of things, and I was getting very busy. And a bunch of people at the sketch group, comedy Acme Theater in LA, said, "Hey, we're gonna get a group together, and it's right up the street from your house. So why don't you come over?" And Travis Oates is the guy who was our DM, and he invented all his worlds. So we didn't use any standard lore necessarily. He would make everything up he's a screenwriter and a director and everything like that. And we did a 3.5 game for like 2.5 years. And then we switched to 4. And we did that about 1.5 years before everybody got so busy that we couldn't keep it up. But so I've had 2 significant characters in my D&D life.
And what were those characters?
In the 3.5, I had a character named Jocelyn, and she was a redheaded sorceress. And I deliberately made her charisma extremely high and extremely low intelligence. So she was a huge diva. She would do things out of vanity all the time. She never wanted to be in the back, because she felt like it was insulting, even though she should be in the back lines as a sorcerer. She would do things that tanked a bunch of missions because she wanted to seduce everyone. She was a slut. So I actually had a very good time playing Jocelyn. She's a slutty sorceress with a real diva attitude. And then when we did 4.0, I went the opposite direction. I
was going to ask, how do you follow up with the slutty sorceress in the next campaign?
Yeah, no, I had a character named Lyra, and she was a wizard. And it was just, 4.0 had just come out, so there wasn't even, I think somebody had a barbarian character. It was right after barbarians came out. She was much more, very high intelligence, very kind of mousy. She was younger, but she had huge skills. So I took all the skill, the skill sets. So she could speak 7 languages. She had really huge high skill checks and all the nerdy arts. And one time she accidentally had sex with somebody on a boat. And then the whole joke was that I was pregnant the whole time, which I wasn't. But everybody would just razz me about, you know, her one indiscretion.
It only takes one time.
It does only you're absolutely right. You're right. No, thank you. But anyway, so that was my two significant characters. And I mean, the fact that I spent so long with him, like you feel very, I don't know, what was your first character? Or what's your favorite dude that you've had?
So I was always a DM. That was always my big thing.
So you never had a character?
I've had characters and I've played, I tend to play like, I've never really had like a really long-term character that I got to play for like years or like from like levels 1 to 10 or anything like that. But as a DM, I kind of like, that's my chance to play characters. And I always like playing like the guy who offers the characters what they want at like a hidden price. So I had one campaign, it was a 3-5 campaign. And I had super munchkin players and they always knew exactly what magic items they wanted. Like, oh, I need this sword and this thing to complete my kit. So there's one guy in town who kept selling them exactly what they wanted. And they didn't realize this until it was way too late. Every magic item he gave to them was actually cursed. So like a touch of a button, like all the items would fail and he was spying on them. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like doing.
Ooh, you're evil.
Look at that grin. He's like,
yeah. No, it's fun. It's like when you get to watch it all get together and it's just, you just rub your hands together.
So I heard something actually about one of your campaigns today that Beyonce comes up a lot.
Oh, so this is, okay. Exactly. So I was running a game like a month ago. I was the DM as usual. And one of the players rescued these dwarves. And my friend Jeremy was playing, now this is important. He was playing a wizard. I thought he was playing a human wizard. So the eldest dwarf in the group, he goes up to him and says, oh, you know, we're here to rescue you. And I have the dwarf saying, I'm in character. Like, oh, you know, thank you, child, for rescuing us. And Jeremy gets this kind of smirk and he says, child, but, you know, I'm an elf. You are clearly younger than me. And so rather than just like cop the fact, oh, I thought you were human. Sorry. I said, no, this is, and the name just popped in my head. Beyonce the dwarf. He's 15,000 years old. And I just made, and now there's this entire mythology of how his
Beyonce
elf,
the dwarf.
And like the elf accidentally insulted him by calling him child. And so, and I even had like the next room, there were these giants like in over here saying, oh, I pity he who insults Beyonce the dwarf lord. Even I, a giant, would never do that. Oh, and we are honored that we have him as our prisoner. And yeah, so I didn't want to like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I thought you were a human. You're an elf. But
well, no, you got to stay. No, stay in character.
Think about his fabulous hair. Exactly. Fabulous hair, I bet, right?
Yes, of course.
Skin and hair.
Lots of sequins. Really,
yeah.
Sequins. Sequin tabard.
and just a really great rear, probably.
Probably. Because she is a fine lady. She is. Let's not objectify her, but she is fine.
Well, isn't that her trait? Is that what everyone talks about?
No, that's J-Lo.
Oh, it's J-Lo, right?
Oh, boy. You're out of it.
I am totally out of it. I know nothing. I'm so bad about it. I see, like, when I'm in line at, like, a supermarket and I look at, like, the magazine, I have no idea what people are.
You know what? I pride myself on that fact. Half the time, I don't know those. God bless them. Be on the cover. That is a horrible life. You don't want people putting you on the cover of things. It's terrible.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I'm wondering if you ever had a character that you have been attached
to. Oh, I thought you said something about like the Us Weekly
thing. No, I was wondering about your character.
You like Us Weekly?
There is a People magazine at my desk right now.
That's fine.
Awkward.
It was from an airplane. I brought it in.
Okay, it's free. As long as it's free, it's fine. Yeah. I only read them at the salon when I'm not supporting them. But I read all of them.
Right.
So what was your character?
My favorite?
Yeah.
Probably Astrid. My first D&D character. My very first. And I seriously, I didn't have any minis at the time, and the DM went rifled through. He didn't have a tub quite as big as Chris Perkins has, but
ridiculous tub. Why didn't I take more
like
items?
Like a little, we can go back.
Oh, no, it's too late.
No, it's not.
It's tacky. Do I really want to leave here with, like, bags of loot? Probably.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
And you don't even have to leave me. We can send you bags of loot.
Yeah.
Okay, stop. I love you. Go.
So he rifled through his little Tupperware container of minis, and I wanted to play a sorceress.
Yes.
And an elf.
They're the best.
I thought that would be cool.
Yeah.
And he pulled out this beautiful little mini, the one that I showed you over there with the flowing blonde hair and pink robes. And I looked at her, and I'm like... That's me. Like, I shall call her Astrid. And I seriously felt like this must be what new mothers feel like when they hand the baby to you in the hospital after it's all cleaned up, of course. But
yeah, of course.
That was, from then on, I was totally hooked. But unlike your sorceress, I was like a very overprotective mother, and I would not let Astrid get anywhere close to combat. Like, you stay in the back.
Oh, really?
You've got magic missiles, and you don't need to get up front. And, like, if there was a column, she was behind it. If there was, like, an adjacent room, she was probably in it. So well, I
didn't... That's smart. That's smarter.
It's smart, but you don't totally get immersed in really what D&D
I think
offer.
it's what it is, man. I mean, she was one dumb woman. She was dumb. intelligence as low as I possibly could.
But I don't feel like she even like helped her party nearly as much as she probably could have because I was holding her back. So then my next character I made, I tried to make a little bit unlikable to me. So I'm like, just get hit a few times. You're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Was it another sorceress?
It was a wizard.
Wizard. See, yeah, I'm a more of a spellcaster person. Although I've heard they're, you know, I kind of like thieves as well because I just like to, I like to eavesdrop and I like to steal things. In every video game I play. No, not in real life.
Oh, okay.
I mean, clearly, I'm not. Somebody gave me this.
Sure.
This kudel.
I'm not judging you. I think that's fine.
Yeah. No, but I really do like snooping at people's houses in games. That's my favorite part of Skyrim, just digging around at people's possessions. So, like, I could be attracted to something like that, a thief character.
Yeah.
I could do that.
You're going to ask me? Were you really going to ask me?
Yeah.
So my favorite character was one of the first characters I created, and it was in James Wyatt's campaign. And I was a huge fan of Freaks and Geeks. So when I started playing Dungeons & Dragons, they needed a tank. And so I was like, there's a dwarven fighter that I want to create. And he was named Carlos the Dwarf. And it was supposed to be – it was a one-off. It was a one-off campaign. It was me and a bunch of improviser friends. And he had been used to be playing – he was used to playing with – you know, with R&D folk, with gamers, he hadn't played with improvisers and actors for a really long time. And so it was a one-off campaign that we did New Year's Day, and we just had a blast. We just gave us through a quick one-shot, and then a couple months later, he emailed me and was like, I want to make this a regular thing with all these characters again, because he was just having so much fun. And so I was this dwarven fighter named Carlos who had no shame. He would there was one point where he had to distract some guards. So he took all of his armor, jumped into a pool, started splashing around and doing like the hair commercials. He'd like flip his hair and his beard back. Oh yeah. No,
and
it was awesome.
Beard.
Oh yeah, no. He would like soak up his beard and like throw it over his shoulder. There was one time where he purposely they were trying to intimidate these other guards and they weren't having it. So he asked the sorceress to electrify him. He was like, just do it. And so he just sat there and just got zapped a whole bunch. And I was like, all right. He walks his smoking body over here and rests for a few turns while the rest of you take on everybody else. He was sort of the punching bag.
Wow.
He
was hilarious.
Like yeah.
And
yeah.
Plus, then once he started smashing with his hammer, it was pretty amazing. Because you just take turn after turn smashing things.
I mean, that's a cool thing when you're playing with actors. Like, actors will kick a roll. Like, there was the barbarian was just a jerk. He was a douchebag. He was terrible. He'd always do something that was against his it was against his principles. It's always against, it was a paladin.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I was just
hey,
stop it. And then the barbarian was just like a dumb guy. Like, but everybody embraced it, like 100%. They just went the distance. And that's a fun part of it.
Exactly. That's what a lot of the fun comes from having D&D is you can have these moments. It's like, you're going to have some really serious, awesome gameplay moments.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have just these really serious just character moments. And I think that's probably, like, if you guys can think about one of your, like, just this awesome moment. It doesn't have to be with your character. Maybe it's just this awesome moment you had where you're like, I remember. Because I remember from that campaign, like I said, when for some reason the guards weren't doing anything, but the minute my dwarf went in and started pretending he was in that Pantene Pro-V commercial, the guards were completely distracted because they were like, what is going on with this? So that we ambush them and like wipe them out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are moments like that. Can you think of any like just crazy moments you've had?
So my current, I am playing a character right now and I described him as like this like lawful like inquisitor dour guy, but I've decided instead he's pretending like that's his cover story. He's actually this chaos cultist guy who just believes in like sowing random stuff. So we found this magical rock and there was like this vampire, like this guy turned out to be a vampire and he had us cornered. And I'm like, oh, we're all going to die anyways. So I was like, I just took the rock. I'm playing wizard.
Uh-huh.
And I just threw the rock on the ground and I pointed at the fighter and I said, smash it. And, you know, like just hit the rock with your hammer as hard as you can. And everyone's like, wait, why? I'm like, oh, trust me. I know. And I had no idea because I'm playing a crazy guy. And the DM is just like looking all like, what the hell's going on? Because he was not expecting us to do this. And so the fighter smashed the rock and a freaking fire giant came out of it and just like trashed the vampire. It was awesome.
Wow.
Totally unplanned. We're supposed to use it like at some other point in the story, but it was just like,
that's amazing. That's great though. It is improv. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I like that kind of chaos. It's fun.
Shelly, any big moments you remember?
Well, I remember what one time Astrid actually did help the party. I had mirror image and I cast it and like the DM even had like six other Astrid minis that he brought out. And like, nice. I just remember like looking down at the playmat and like this formation of Astrids. And even I was like, I forgot which one she really is. But it was like, she was just like charging at the bad guys in her formation. And like, this is the coolest. And she did a ton of damage.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I just felt like, all right, like after 2 years, I have contributed right? Yeah, to this campaign.
Exactly, you get that moment.
Thank you very much. I'll be behind the column if anyone needs me.
What about you, Felicia? Can you think of any big moments that have happened?
I mean, the Lyra pregnancy thing was a running gag that just irritated the crap out of me because I was like, no, I am not pregnant. I mean, it was a very dashing pirate and it was a 3-week journey. And like, it was a very long journey and I was a child and I wanted to become a woman. It was a whole thing. I made it like a coming of age story for this, you know, kind of Harry Potter-ish girl. So they were so irritated that I was kind of putting this so-called life storyline into the thing that he just kept bugging me like, you're worried. You're worried. And then there was a time that Jocelyn just she was so terrible that she just fireballed and basically killed two of the party members.
Wow.
Oh, that's my biggest
or almost
fear.
Killed them. Yeah, it was bad. Because she was dumb and I was role playing and she would have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was between us and it was like two of the frontline guys and it was better to kill everybody than to, you know, lose. So they were not happy. They did not. Nobody else in the party thought that was a good decision.
So with all the stuff you've been doing, this is sort of a random question that popped in my head. Well, all the stuff you've been doing with the guild and you're writing a lot and there's a lot of creativity with everything you're doing. Have you ever thought about jumping to the other side of the screen and being a DM?
Oh, wow. I mean, I guess it's kind of like being a director.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the director of what I do. Like, I have a company called Geek & Sundry, and we make 7 shows now, and we're going to retool and make a ton different shows this year. So that's kind of an even bigger, like, higher level of sort of administering kind of the world, our world.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever want the responsibility of being a DM. Like, I'm there to escape, and I think the responsibility... I'm not very good on my feet sometimes. I like to think things through. So I think people would outwit me a lot, to be honest with you. I like being, you know, in the situation of figuring out a way out.
Right.
Versus like being... I don't enjoy tricking people either. Obviously, some people here do. But I actually am super way too honest. Like, people could trick me into doing anything, pretty much. So I don't think that's a good DM trait. You need a little bit of deception and deviousness to be a good DM.
I'm pretty sure Mike has all of that.
I just like causing trouble. I can't help it. Like,
yeah, it's good. It's a good DM.
Chaos is kind of fun, right? That's the, yeah.
That's why I still DM Gamworld every once in a while. Because Gamworld, I can just do whatever. I'm like, well, now there's a mutant made of gummy bears.
Yeah, why not?
What are you guys going to do about that now? It's fantastic. So I think that's about our time. I want to thank everybody for coming down. Fusha Day, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your busy schedule and hanging out with us.
Thank you. Can I just do a shout out to something we're doing on the channel this month?
Yeah.
It's called National Tabletop Day. And I don't know, we have a show on our show, on our network that is called Tabletop. And Will Wheaton and I created it. And every week he plays a different hobby or board game. And we're actually trying to do an international day on March 30th that we just want people to play games that they love and take pictures and share video and share it with their friends so that everybody knows that playing games with your friends in person is cool. So we're just trying to get everybody involved. So if you guys have a moment, play some games on March 30th
March
for us.
30th. I will be playing games. I will actually make sure that Trevor knows so that Trevor can tweet from the D&D yes. account, the Twitter account, because, you know, pretty sure we make games that are tabletop worthy here
exactly.
in this building.
No, definitely, absolutely, and we're gonna be live streaming on Geek & Sundry all day as well. But we want it to be about everybody else but us. Really, we just want, you know, to spread the love of the hobby and everything. So yeah, thanks.
Cool, thank you, Mike, Shelley. Always a pleasure to see you guys and have you in the booth
thanks.
With air quotes.
I'll walk by conveniently when you're filming a podcast more often.
You should. It'd be fantastic. So from all of us here at Wizards of the Coast and Dungeons & Dragons, thanks for listening, everybody.